What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
Light bulbs are going off in my head.
This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me.
I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are finishing our series on self-control. As you may recall, 2 weeks ago, I brought up the idea of self-control and the way that pre-Christ, we are incapable of dying to ourselves. Ephesians 2 said that we live according to our desires, the desires of the body, the desires of the natural mind. Today, I want to finish the idea starting in 1 Corinthians 9, where we left off last time. But going over to 2 Peter chapter 1, let's consider the way that a believer demonstrates self-control. If you don't remember our episode from 2 weeks ago, make sure to jump back to that first, because only a believer can truly demonstrate self-control when you understand self-control through the lens of Scripture, which is the restraint of one's impulses, emotions, or desires. I cannot demonstrate self-control in my own grit and determination. Remember, you can't be a Green Beret, Navy SEAL, Delta Force, PJ, and then deny yourself your natural desires. You can have high levels of discipline, but you can't deny yourself your flesh. You are in sin and you are totally depraved. You live out your sinful heart attitudes. So what do you need? At the moment of conversion, you need Titus 2:11 through 12, that the Spirit of God gives you self-control. Apart from the Spirit of God doing that, you can't do that. No matter how early you wake up, how much you bench press, how many marathons you've done, you cannot deny yourself your natural flesh apart from regeneration. So self-control, I've never heard it taught that way. I've always thought like, man, I really look up to those bodybuilders, marathoners, ultra food disciplinarian type people. But the Bible actually has a different understanding of self-control. You can be a very physically fit person. Remember I said at the end of last episode, very physically fit. I live in the land of Southern California, sparkling waters and salads. You can be physically fit and yet you do not deny yourself what you naturally want. So 1 Corinthians 9 tells believers, this is starting in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win. No, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul is trying to stay qualified for ministry. This is not an athletic competition that he's trying to engage in. I think those can be worthy. I think athletics and sports can be worthy aspirations. But here he's using athletics as the comparison for the spiritual life. He's denying himself. He's disciplining his body. Making it his slave is the way the LSB translates that. Keep your body under control. Deny yourself your bodily impulses. Don't be a hedonist. Piper would say, be a Christian hedonist, but no one would say, an Orthodox Protestant Christian, no one would say, be a hedonist. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's hedonism. Discipline is an important part of your sanctification. You're running the race, your boxing match. You have to discipline yourself. Now, I want to go to one more passage in 2 Peter. And as I'm turning over there, remember, if you guys haven't done this already, make sure that you like and subscribe to Transformed. It helps the algorithm thingamajiggies get us out there and just watch. Watch the way that it's slowly boosting and that other people can find Transformed whenever they're searching for it. So thank you for those that have already done that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now this is verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in whom these things are not present, that one is blind, being nearsighted, having forgotten the purification from his former sins. Okay, make sure you capture this, guys. This is verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure, or election is the term the ESV will use there. For in doing these things, you will never stumble. Make your calling and election sure. You do realize that 2 Peter 1 is written to Christians and primarily to help them respond to suffering well. In chapter 2 and 3, you're going to see that these Christians have to learn how to identify false teachers. And then in so doing, they will be able to promote truth and defend truth. So this is not a work for your salvation. Verse 10, be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure. But remember, in verse 1, to those who have received the same kind of faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no confusing that this is written towards Christians. Like, guys, we have to just be very candid about that. This is the believer. And what does the believer hear? Verse 5, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. You know, you do recognize that this is part of the way that you are to demonstrate your faith. Supplement your faith. Be diligent to confirm your calling and election. And what do you do in verse 6? The believer in verse 6, they apply self-control. They deny themselves what they naturally want. Outside of Christ, what do you want? You're denying yourself that. Seriously, that's what we're talking about. So here, practically speaking, I want you to see that the believer is called to exude certain character traits, perseverance, godliness, knowledge, virtue, or moral excellence, meaning that you're pure, but that you as a believer see that I am called to put on self-control. Okay, guys, think this through practically. Before Christ, I can't deny myself. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit has now regenerated me and made me alive so that I can start to demonstrate, and I will, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, I will demonstrate self-control because of the work of the Spirit of God in me. Next, I am called to pursue self-control to supplement my faith. I want to give you this idea of how you supplement your faith with self-control. In Georgia growing up, oh man, Todd and Jimmy are going to give me a hard time. You know, they have me like self-conscious of talking about being from Savannah. Every time I'll talk to Jimmy or Todd, they're like, oh, let me guess, you're from Savannah. It's like, okay, I'm from Savannah. It's not dissimilar. In fact, in Southern California, we have oak trees out here that are basically like sacred. Anyone that's doing a home project knows if they have an oak tree in their house or on their property, they have to basically work around that oak tree. It can't be touched. One of the things we did growing up with pine trees is pine trees have this bark that you can kind of pop off and it looks like a little puck, you know, like a hockey puck or a disc. We would pop off the bark from a pine tree right on sidewalk. You know, it's there forever. We would throw them at each other, whatcha, like a ninja star. Oh, killed in action. And over time, you could actually really damage a tree by removing enough bark from that tree. In fact, if you scarred a tree, let's just say you took a knife out and scarred it, that was a big no-no. For those of you that are tree experts, you know that you can actually really impair a tree's health because of the fact that it has lost too much bark. In fact, you could kill a tree if you strip it of its bark. I want you to think of self-control like bark on a tree just for a second. And for those of you that are in the desert, this one's going to be hard for you. Bark on a tree, it actually shows that that tree is healthy and that bark demonstrates the health of the tree. So if you go to a tree and it has no bark, it's all been stripped off and it's intended to have bark, it's like, okay, that's an unhealthy tree. And over time, it's susceptible and it's probably going to die. But also think that that is an evidence of the health of a tree. It is an evidence of the health and it protects it. I want you to think of your self-control like that. It actually evidences regeneration in my life. If I look at my life and there's no meaningful way that I deny myself my natural desires and flesh, then you have to ask yourself hard questions. If you are a hedonist, and I don't mean in the John Piper way, but if you are a hedonist, that is not a sign of you being in Christ. Because at the moment of regeneration, you die to yourself, and based off of God's work in your life, you are then denying yourself what you naturally wanted. Okay, so that's check one. It's the evidence of health. But then number two, it protects your health. Self-control is something that you pursue. And because you pursue it, that means that I actually have to supplement my faith with self-control. Or to use 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body. Or 1 Timothy 4:7, that I am exercising myself for the purpose of godliness. So I want to protect self-control so I can protect my spiritual life. That is the idea of this bark has a two-way street. And if you don't have any self-control, that's not good. But you put on self-control that you can be vibrant in Christ and that your spiritual walk can continue to thrive. So we got to do this. Let's take a short break. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. And when we come back, we'll pick up with how does a Christian exercise self-control? We'll be right back. And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he talks about self-control as the evidence of spiritual health. And when we talk about self-control, there's one place that I'd like to talk about. This is a place that teaches students what Greg's explaining here about self-control. That would be the Masters University. They teach their students self-control versus physical discipline. Yeah, other colleges are promoting wellness programs and self-improvement techniques, but at TMU, they're helping students understand that biblical self-control only comes through regeneration. Students learn that you can wake up at 4 a.m., run marathons, and bench press twice your body weight, but still be enslaved to your natural desires. Look, if you want an education that understands the difference between willpower and spirit power, Masters University, it's got to be at the top of your list. Go to masters.edu/transform to get the conversation started right now. And something else that helps you with the confusion between self-discipline and biblical self-control would be Fortis Plus. That's right. I know that sounds self-serving to talk about like that, but it's true. It does. Hundreds of hours of content available right now from people like Dr. Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Adam Tyson, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel. And the content they're creating addresses what's happening in your heart, not just what's happening with your habits. We're adding new material to Fortis Plus every single day. There's already, as I said, hundreds of hours of content sitting there right now, and we're adding to it every day. Download it right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or go to fortisplus.org. And it's absolutely free. Let me say that again. It is absolutely free. And the reason that it's free is because of people just like you, men and women who we call gospel partners. These are people who have been impacted by the content we're creating here at Fortis Institute so much that they want to stand with us and link arms with us so we can continue to create more content and get it out to more places and more people all over the world. You can get more information right now about what that would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org, but only if you're giving to your local church first. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible never commands us to love ourselves. Our problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. The problem is actually that we love ourselves too much.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Jimmy, thank you so much for your resources. You are the man. Last week I had a fiasco with uploading and getting the episodes to Jimmy, and he was just very gracious and kind about it. So thank you, sir. You're awesome. You're my Fortis best friend. Today's episode has been about self-control, and it's the second part in a two-part series that we started 2 weeks ago. Then last week we discussed how much better God is than basically everything else. And today we come back to the second part of self-control. Not typically how you do a series, but it's how this one worked out. I've never heard believers get it right. Every time I've heard it, it's like this really beefy, muscular guy or the super fit lady. And all of a sudden she's telling us we need to eat certain things. She's saying we need to work out all the time in order to honor Jesus and get up at 5 a.m. And it's like, man, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus did that. I don't know if his disciples got up early. So as I was crafting these and thinking through self-control, I said, you know what? We have to get it right. Self-control, there's three stages. Stage one, pre-Christ, I have no self-control. Not that I can't exercise, but I can't deny myself what I naturally want. Number two, at the moment of conversion, God's Spirit regenerates me so that I can demonstrate self-control. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. One of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is that God actually saves you and you now deny yourself what you wanted in your natural desires. And that is of the body and the mind, according to Ephesians 2:3. As a Christian, okay, I want to address you in this last segment here. As a Christian, we want to be very careful to say, as a Christian, that I have no self-control, because that is an evidence of your faith. Remember what I said with the tree bark. If you have no self-control, then that's an evidence of not being in Christ. So you do have self-control. You may not be able to wake up early, or maybe you're not a huge dieter and weightlifter. It's like, that's different. Right now, we're talking about denying yourself what you naturally want. So as a Christian, you all have self-control, and you are encouraged as a Christian to supplement your faith, to be diligent about using self-control to confirm your calling and election. That is the work out your salvation type of mentality. So let me give you some things to think about in the way that a Christian demonstrates self-control. I want to credit these to whom credit is due. A friend of mine started them and I've added to them. His name is Ron Alchin, and he started this concept, and I want to give you a few more. Let's start with eye control. Eye control. What do you allow your eyes to see? You know, you can control that, in all fairness. When I think of eye control, I think of raunchy movies. And at a former time, it was movies. You know, you go to the movie, and some of us remember going to Movie Gallery and Blockbuster and bringing a VHS home. Then it was Redbox. Now it's streamed all online. But what do you allow to go before your eyes? You know, every movie has to provide a disclaimer of why it's rated the way that it is. And boom, right there in that movie, it's going to say sexual graphic or sexual content or nudity or something like that. And in that moment, I want you to say, eye control, boop, nope, I am not watching that movie. And if you do watch that movie, you're watching it with someone like a mom or a wife or a husband or someone where you can close your eyes and you are controlling what you allow to go before your eyes. The psalmist says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Demonstrate eye control. I would rather come across crazy because I'm closing my eyes. I'm covering them like Buddy the Elf. You guys remember whenever he closes his eyes, he takes off running and then he runs into a wall. I would rather come across crazy with eye control than see images that are going to imprint themselves upon my mind and then I'm now battling to be pure based off of what I saw. So eye control. Demonstrate eye control. Thought control. And I don't mean you're controlling other people's thoughts. I mean, you're taking your thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10:3, and you're taking them captive to Christ. They're under the lordship of Christ. Every thought that I think is going to represent Christ, and it's going to represent Christ well. So if this thought is not honoring to the Lord, Philippians 4:8, it's not pure, just, holy, true, whatever that is, then I am not going to think it. I'm going to renew my mind with the truth of Scripture. Some of us have a very undisciplined mind life, very undisciplined. We let our mind just run free. If it were an animal, it's not only in the streets, it's on the highway. Our mind is just out running the Interstate 5 from Seattle to LA, and we are not reining in our thoughts with the help of God's Spirit. You have to demonstrate control over your thoughts, taking them captive to Christ. And if you're wondering on how to do that, I've done a couple of episodes on intrusive thoughts. I've done an episode on renewing your mind. Go back to the Mind versus Brain series or Pick Up Lies My Therapist Told Me. And in that, we talk in detail about how to renew your mind. But renewing your mind is key. So eye control, thought control. Word control. You do recognize that if anyone bridles their tongue, they are a perfect man. How great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. For every kind of beasts and birds, of reptiles, creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. This is the reality that there is death and life in the power of the tongue. If anyone thinks himself to be religious while not bridling his tongue, he deceives his own heart. this man's religion is worthless. Word control. What do you say? Not what do you say on social media, not what do you say in a public environment, but the Matthew 12:36, what are your careless words? You need to demonstrate word control. Talk about people in a way that represents God's word toward them. Talk about people in a way that you would say directly to the Lord or directly to that person. Use your words to build up, not tear down. They're to be nutritional and edifying for a person's faith. Word control. Put off filthy, rampant communication. There is no coarse jesting, Ephesians 5. It's shameful to even talk about. But more than just coarse jesting, that you're not speaking any corrupting communication. That's word control. Discipline your words. Bring your words into submission to honor Christ. Where do you need to work on gratitude? Where do you need to work on talking people? Where do you need to work on reconstructing stories according to truth and reality instead of making yourself the hero or the victim? Word control. So far we have eye control, thought control, word control. Next, action control. You're disciplining your actions. I'm not giving in to laziness. I'm not going to give in to workaholism. I'm not going to give in to covetousness. I'm not going to give in to buying more than I need. My actions have to be disciplined according to God's word. So we have action control. Okay, next, companion control. This is Psalm 1 in a nutshell. You do recognize that Psalm 1 actually gives you categories of people that you allow yourself to be around. And it doesn't just happen where you've been influenced towards dishonoring the Lord, but how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You do not allow the wicked, the sinner, and the scoffer to be your best friend. You're not kicking it on the weekend. When they invite you out after work, you say, hey, I'm so sorry, I already have plans. Thank you so much. You are limiting who you allow yourself to be around. Who do you let close to you? That is a choice that you make, and that is companion control. And if you want to be wise, then you have to walk with the wise. Embed yourself in a local church and prioritize time with those individuals. So companion control. So I have eye control, thought control, word control, action control, companion control. You'll like this one. Emotion control. Are you an emotional person in the negative sense of that term? Do your emotions rule you? Your sad face and your mad face are the same face and everybody knows it. Well, you need to regulate those emotions by bringing them under the discipline of God's Spirit, the Word, accountability in your life, that you're letting the truth of Scripture be the authority, not your emotions. And there are days when you're having to tell yourself, I need to drive on by God's grace. And I am not going to be whiny and I'm not going to be a grumbler and a complainer. I'm going to persevere today. And I don't feel great, but I'm going to honor the Lord and walk by faith, not by my feelings. That's what it looks like for us to discipline our emotions. For some of us, like today's the best day ever and there's sunshine and we're singing, the birds are chirping and we're going to say, let's go spend a bunch of money. Woohoo! You have to discipline your emotions and say, wait, I still have to live by a budget and I have responsibilities and I can't call out of work and I can't quit and I can't go buy the Ferrari. I need to discipline my emotions today. So whether high or whether low, we walk by faith, not by our feelings. We walk by the truth of Scripture. The last one that I would add is influence control. Who or what is influencing you? Secular literature, coworkers, social media. Who do you allow to influence you? And that's generally going to come down to who do you spend the most time with? As a Christian, you are to supplement your faith with self-control. It is the protector and the evidence of the health of your faith. Guys, let's not become Delta Force, Navy SEAL, Team 6 for Jesus types waking up at 4 a.m. and shooting guns and doing a bunch of push-ups. That's not what the Lord has called us to. But the Lord has called us to discipline ourselves. And as we do that, the goal is not that we would be glorified, but that God would be glorified by his work in us. So let me pray to that end. Lord, we do not want to be the Methodist who woke up at 5 a.m., prayed at noon, prayed again at 5, and prayed in the inn, and yet were legalistic and unbelievers. We know we can create our own religion of self-discipline. So help us to fight against that while also concurrently saying that godliness requires discipline. We love you, Lord. There are some listening to this that really do need to excel all the more. Lord, help them to discipline themselves, not for self-righteousness, but for your glory. For those that are erring towards wrong definitions of discipline, help them to correct that, and that self-control would be an act of worship, not an act of judgmentalism and looking down on others. So give us grace to honor you in this, that we can be more like Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.